The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 20th through Sunday, October 26th, 2025. The commentary for October was written by Amy Morehouse, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, mental health advocate, fiber artist, and native East Tennessean. The commentary for Monday, October 20th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 9 in the Old Testament. "It is he who rules the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble." The psalmist lifts up God's role not only as a righteous ruler and an equitable judge, but also as a holy refuge for those whom the world has shown oppression and hurt. The psalm continues, "The needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever." The Psalms are lyrical prayers, and they have few illusions about the ways humans can treat one another. They are honest about hurts and angers and the occasional feelings of despair or defeat at the hands of enemies. But they also lift up our ultimate hope, which is in God. God who is just, God who sees the distress and hears the cries of God's people. God who knows when they hunger and thirst, not only for food and drink, but also for righteousness and for being in right relationship with God and with humanity. If you need refuge, make your cries known to Almighty God, who hears us when we call, grieves with us when we grieve, and hopes for us as we seek to live as followers of the King of Kings. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 9. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations who have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemies have vanished in everlasting ruins. Their cities you have rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And the moving forward question for this Monday, what psalm speaks to you when you need refuge? The commentary for Tuesday, October 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Not long ago, I was plagued with insomnia, that feeling when sleep just will not come, or if it does, it isn't restful. Whether I was turning over the events of the previous day or pre-planning for the day ahead, a polite word for worrying, I couldn't seem to help my brain find quiet. 4 a.m. can feel like the loneliest, longest hour in the world. When sleep seemed impossible, I began lifting others in prayer. I offered intercessory prayers for those I knew who were ill, for all who work or watch or weep this night, and for all those around the world who were also staring and wide awake in the middle of the night. With enough practice, I could focus on others and on Jesus instead of the whirling thoughts of my brain. Sometimes sleep is still elusive, yet I trust that Jesus keeps me company even then. And now I'm going to read the full passage from this gospel from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, October 21st, is what burden might Jesus hold for you just for one night? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, October 22nd. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." How often do you get a letter calling you my beloved? Well, I wonder how that might have sounded to the church in Corinth to hear their whole assembly referred to as beloved. That is no small thing, no small sentiment, particularly when we know that the community in Corinth was having a hard time behaving toward one another in loving ways. That was one of the reasons for the letters, to remind them of their duty to one another and to God. When we know we are beloved, not only by others, but also by God, it can be easier to respond with love. Love is never wasted or exhausted. It is one of the few things that multiplies when given away. We are assured that this gospel kind of love is never given in vain. And now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, the letter by Paul, chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on perishability, or imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, God keep us steadfast in love, excelling in the work that is before us today. What does this statement mean to you? Now the commentary for Thursday, October 23rd, the day on which we commemorate St. James of Jerusalem. Commentary begins with a passage from Acts 15, verse 9. Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God. According to church tradition, James, the brother of Jesus, does not come to faith in him until after his resurrection. The Gospel of John tells us that his brothers did not believe in him during his ministry, but instead tried to persuade him to come home and stop saying foolish things in public. James experiences such a change of heart that in the book of Acts, he agrees with Paul about widening the focus of ministry to the Gentiles. No longer would the disciples only go to the people of Israel, but would witness to all of God's people. James's decision helps transform the disciples' ministry. They would divide up and travel to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the corners of the world, speaking of their faith to all who would listen. Even when faith does not come easy or early, God continues to work in the hearts of his people. Now I'm going to read that passage from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 12 through 22a. The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen from its ruins. I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago.' Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain only from things polluted by idols and from fornication and from whatever has been strangled and from blood. For in every city for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose men from among their members and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday is to open our hearts, God, to see you at work in your people in this world. The commentary for Friday, October 24th, begins with a passage from Ezra in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 11b. "He is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel." And all the people responded with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. What rejoicing there must have been when the people of Israel saw the foundation of the temple laid and the priests lift those first offerings to God. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, many groups from across the country came to help in the recovery efforts. A group from my congregation went and returned home moved to have been able to participate in worship wherever they could with people whose churches and homes had been destroyed. Even without houses of worship, communities of faith endure because they are made up of people. Buildings can be helpful, but it is the worship of the faithful that sustains the people of God. The great shout of joy of the people of Israel continues to echo through history every time a worship space is blessed. Even under the trees, in warehouses and sheds, in prisons and in hospitals. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites were in the towns, the people gathered together in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, with his fellow priest, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, with his kin, set out to build the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as prescribed in the law of Moses, the man of God. They set up the altar on its foundation because they were in dread of the neighboring peoples, and they offered burnt offerings upon it to the Lord morning and evening. And they kept the festival of booths as prescribed, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the ordinance, as required for each day. And after that, the regular burnt offerings, the offerings at the new moon, and at all the sacred festivals of the Lord, and the offerings of everyone who made a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundations of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So they gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the grant that they had from King Cyrus of Persia. In the second year after their arrival at the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, made a beginning, together with the rest of their people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had come to Jerusalem from the captivity. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to have the oversight of the work on the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his kin, and Kadmiel and his sons, Binui and Hodaviah, along with the sons of Henadad, the Levites, their sons and kin, together took charge of the workers in the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments were stationed to praise the Lord with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, according to the directions of King David of Israel, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people responded with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of families, old people who had seen the first house on its foundations, wept with a loud voice when they saw this house, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping, for the people shouted so loudly that the sound was heard from far away. And the moving forward question for this Friday: what worship space sustains your life of faith? The commentary for Saturday, October 25th, begins with a passage from Paul's letter to Philemon, chapter 1, verse 7. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. Paul writes to Philemon with a particular purpose. He asks a favor of Philemon, that he would receive his former slave, Onesimus, back as a beloved brother, rather than as an enslaved person. Onesimus has been of service to Paul in his imprisonment. Paul is deeply grateful and wishes their reunion to be joyful, not bitter. He hopes that reminding Philemon of his own belovedness will encourage him to behave with the same love in return. Onesimus left as a slave. Paul hopes that Philemon will receive him back as a brother in faith, a free man, rather than a bound one. Paul's wish for Onesimus is for freedom and hope of restored relationship between these two brothers in faith. Where are we called to work for and encourage the freedom of all God's children in the name of Jesus Christ? And now I'm going to read this full letter from Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, October 25th, where might we join God at work with those most needing encouragement and liberation? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 26th, the 20th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Luke 18, verse 14b. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. In college, one of my favorite T-shirts had a cartoon on the front, a self-satisfied person standing on top of a mountain wearing a crown, looking proudly out over all he surveys. Just behind him was a giant hand reaching down from the clouds, poised to poke him right off his mountain. Jesus tells a parable to some who trusted that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. He asks, which man is more righteous, the one who is publicly proud of how well he lives according to the letter of the law, or the one who is deeply repentant of his shortcomings? It is when I am most sure of myself that I am likely to flub up or not see someone else's point of view. A dose of faithful humility, the sense that, of course, I might be wrong, keeps me closer to Jesus than any surety. Now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, what might God be trying to show you that you don't already know? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.